What a podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hey!
What?
What's up?
Not much. Hanging out. It's hump day.
It is.
I'm going to find somebody to hump.
Yep.
We talk about the He and She comedy show coming to the Brownsville Saloon on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and we piss on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, we make fun of Meatloaf for a little bit, couscous.
Nah, and we talk some stool on stool action.
And Bill Cosby's set down special.
All right. Wednesday's episode is starting now. 6:34. What is that noise? This is gonna make you want to hump. Oh yeah. Hello everybody. It's Wednesday. And that means it's hump day. It's all emotion, no stopping now. Is that David Bowie? Nothing to lose, and only
one way up. It sounds like it.
New Queens? Bon Voyage. Yes, it is. New Queens of the Stone Age. I mentioned on Monday that I downloaded the full album. I've heard they've played this on Pandora. It sounds hitty to me, like it could be their second single or something.
I'm sorry, I'm going to say something.
Go ahead. Bash them. I don't care. What do you think?
It sounds like them Crooked Vultures.
Does it? Well, it's Dave Grohl and Josh Homme, so that's two-thirds.
And the way they sing reminds me of a them Crooked Vultures song.
Right.
I mean, this is just, you know, that's 30 Josh seconds here in it.
Yeah, that's one Josh Homme. How could it not when it's the guitar player, songwriter, and singer?
And a groovy bass. Who's that on bass?
It's that new kid. He's only 25 or something.
Jason now. New Kid?
No, he's... yeah. From Metallica, you know. No, he's a young kid that was like 22 when he tried out. He was a huge fan. He knew all their songs. He was from California. He was not in a popular band. He was just the one. It was just the one they chose. But right. He's pretty good. I dig him. He's
been
He's been in the band
saying,
for a while.
You know.
That kind of sounds like the Vultures too.
It has a very appeal, and I mean, he leads both projects, Josh. So it makes sense, you know, that they would both go in that kind of same direction as maturity wise.
Yeah,
you know?
For
I mean,
sure. And maybe, you know, there was a big gap between Air of Vulgaris and this album.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where them Crooked Vultures came in. So maybe that's just where his vocal style is evolving to. I don't know.
And I'm not saying that would be bad because, I mean, I enjoyed that album and that's a good, solid album.
I kind of wish they would have done another album, but...
I'm sure they will.
Pretty stoked that Grohl was on this, at least 90% of this, I believe. I didn't get the liner notes to know, like, which songs... This song doesn't really sound... Like, it would have to be Dave Grohl, because the drums are kind of, like, affected somehow, like a pull, pull, tsh, more like a drum machine type of thing. But a couple ballads on here that are super slow, they were actually on Conan on TBS a couple weeks ago.
I think I heard something about that.
Yeah, and they all wore suits and ties, dressed right up there.
Mm.
They got that Doug Farida, I don't know what his name is. Anyway.
You know what would be weird is a suit of ties.
A suit of ties?
Yeah, like you just sew a bunch of ties together. You know, because they kind of, they would interlock, right? Because they're
Some
symmetrical.
Some of them would have to be upside down, maybe.
Yeah,
both
for
ways.
Sure, yeah. You'd go upside, you'd switch them up, you'd 69 them and sew them together, and they would create
maybe it would be
a giant piece of fabric.
69 ties.
That would be crazy, dude.
Today's episode is brought to you by 69 Ties, the best in suits, available at Men's Warehouse. You'll look good. You'll be... What's this catchphrase?
We'll leave the light on for you.
I guarantee it. No, did you see they were making fun of him on Saturday Night Live? George Zimmerman, and that guy's name is George. Now we go to George Zimmerman.
Dude, I tell you, he said
we go to George Zimmer.
I was being confused at that when it first came out, too.
He's like, I don't understand where the confusion is. I guarantee it. He's like, I keep telling them I'm George Zimmer, man. Oh, wait. There's the confusion right there. Maybe I shouldn't say man after my name. But you'll look good. What's the fucking phrase? You'll be glad you did?
I think that's it. Or, you'll be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Okay.
And not to be confused with Justin Wilson.
You'll look... Something about looking like something?
You'll look good and you'll be glad you did.
No, that can't be it.
All right.
Google that shit.
I am going to.
George Zimmer, man.
I bet I put in George Zimmer and it takes me to Zimmerman.
It probably does. It'll autofill on man.
Man.
Oh, man. So I think I forgot to mention man on Monday's show. I know I did. We got a show set up, a comedy show in Brownsville on Valentine's Day at the at the Brownsville Saloon. I don't know if I told the story, but maybe I told it last week, but I'd kind of been on not really non-speaking terms, but I didn't really like that lady.
You took a break from going over there.
Yeah, I was working karaoke there for like a year, and my wife was bartending there, and she's just a total C-word. She's kicked out many people from her bar for calling her that, so obviously she evokes that word from the male species. She's been quoted as saying she's going to teach the men in Brownsville a lesson by 86 and them all from the bar.
So apparently. She's a misogynist.
It's basically reversed. Whatever.
Yeah.
Is that the same if you're a woman against men? Is that still misogynistic?
Or
is that
sexist, I guess.
It's misterogynistic.
Yeah.
Instead of miss, it's mister.
Bit, almost probably like a more, you know, not realizing, you know, maybe it's just a hatred of men.
She likes to cut people off before they think that they should be cut off because she's afraid of being sued for letting people leave. You know, she likes to cover her bases. She's really professional. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, she has to act like a professional, which sometimes comes off as being a fucking bitch or a dickhead. Even if you're a guy, if you want to be a professional and run things by the rules and you're dealing with your friends, sometimes you're going to fucking come off as a jerk because, look, this is business. Like The Wire says, it's fucking business, man.
Yep. It ain't nothing. Sometimes you're going to have to cap a motherfucker.
Proposition Joe says it ain't nothing personal.
I know.
It's business, man. I can't do that. Yeah. But yeah, so we went up there because
Omar,
I think I might have
off killing.
I might have told the story, but she kind of apologized. She apologized to Dana last week. So now they want to set up a comedy show, a kind of a couples night out dinner special for Valentine's Day, which falls on a Friday. Now I've came to know some people just through Facebook. I haven't met them in person yet, but they're from the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And they're from Florence, originally from... Well, they came from Hawaii. Anyway, they're a man and wife comedy team.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, like George and Gracie. And they have what they call the He and She Comedy Show. It's like a produced comedy. It's produced by them. They wrote it. It's like a show that includes both of them on stage at the same time for 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour. Who knows? And they do Valentine's Day shows sometimes on Valentine's Day. And this year... I asked them if they wanted to come to the little town. Because they had saw the Denny's sign, and they're like, how does one go about getting booked at Denny's to do comedy? Because that sounds amazing. And so I PM'd her and said, hey, if you guys are interested in the next few months, we're going to keep it going. Can't pay you too much, but once we try to build the show a little bit, maybe get some interest going, we might be able to pay you. We'll be able to pay you at least gas to come over from Florence. And they said, oh, we're just lucky to get stage time. We're used to getting a lot of stage time. It's Doug and Teresa Wyckoff, and so they have confirmed to do the Valentine's Day comedy show, and I'm pretty sure Max Brockman and his girlfriend, who both do comedy, she was at the show on last Saturday with me at Bleepin' Funny. Her name is Sarah Lowe, that's it.
Sarah Lowe.
There was another Sarah there. I almost said Sarah White.
Sarah Lowe, I like that.
Sarah Lowe. And so they're boyfriend and girlfriend, yet they don't do
Did
a comedy.
Did you tell me to say hello?
Sarah. Say hello to Sarah.
Sarah Lowe.
Say Sarah Lowe.
Sarah Lowe.
So they do a comedy thing, but not together. But I figured that'd be cool because they're boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm. And then I told Dan I was going to try to get her up there to do something
right
with
on.
Me, but I doubt it. So, yeah, at the Brownsville Saloon in Brownsville.
Right on. Well, Sarah Lowe for me.
Sarah Lowe for me. She hosted a show with me and Alex Elkin. Sarah Lowe. I said hello. But, yeah, I was just checking out Doug Wickoff. Checking out his website here. A little bit more... better resume than I thought. He's performed at world-renowned comedy venues like the Comedy Store, the Improv, the Ice House. He's been seen on Grey's Anatomy, CSI New York, and if you look really closely, which probably means with the freeze frame, you can see him in Bridesmaids.
Hmm.
Must have been an extra.
He must have been an extra bridesmaid.
Yeah, he was an extra bridesmaid. So they do the He and She comedy show, and they're going to be bringing that to Brown Town.
When did he lose his wick?
I don't know. He cut his wick off. But, yeah, their site says, funny moments exist in all relationships, and few relationships are, however, made up of two comedians which share each of those funny, awkward, sometimes embarrassing moments. So they share them with the audience as a married comedy team. Oh, and it even says
that sounds fun, man. I'll still watch the George and Gracie show, man. That's
you know,
funny,
it's funny
stuff, man. They're good.
I'd never looked at this website before, and it says, not since the likes of Burns and Allen or Stiller and Mira. Who's Stiller and Mira?
No. Probably Stiller, around the same time.
What's Ben Stiller's grandpa's name? His dad is, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I thought maybe they were talking about him. Not since those people.
About?
Ben Stiller's dad that was on King of Queens and Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Jerry.
You're talking about his grandpa.
Yeah, but is Jerry Stiller, was his girlfriend Mira, possibly? Stiller and Mira? Anyway, but it says not since then.
But first, I'd like to say you're going to like the way you look, I guarantee it.
You're
going to
like the way you look. I knew it had a look in there.
Dude, it's way too long of a...
I guarantee it's way too long. So, yeah, so. Doug and Teresa Wickoff, hopefully Max Brockman, and say hello to Sarah Lowe.
Say hello for me.
And that'll be a good time.
That's hard to say, though.
It's hard to say low. Sarah Lowe?
All right.
She has a funny story about taking a parkour class. She took a parkour class.
It is, Stiller Mara.
Is it Ben's dad, Jerry?
Yeah. Yeah, still married to Mira.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, he's been many years and with his wife, Mira. There's a picture of him right there.
Hey, when he was
How
young.
How could you not laugh at that?
I know. Nice hair there, Jer.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
They were popular primarily in the 60s and 70s. Ed Sullivan show you're talking.
Right.
They were among the earliest graduates of the Second City.
Wow.
Variety shows became scarce in the 70s. They had a short syndicated program that was only 5 minutes long, which ran immediately after Saturday Night Live.
Huh.
They also did comical radio ads, and then they made a couple appearances on Rhoda.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's she was on Dancing with the Stars. You know who didn't win Dancing with the Stars but was in the top three? Ozzy Osbourne's son, Jock. I thought he was going to win. I have to watch that sometimes because my wife watches it. I don't have to, but I do every once in a while because she always watches it. So every once in a while, I'll watch it. But yeah, he's a fucking dancing fool.
Dancing fool.
He may be totally wrong, but he's a... And Ozzy just looks so clueless in the audience, and when everyone claps the camera sweeps the audience, you know, and it'll show him and Sharon standing there. So he's clapping, and he claps just like he does when he's on stage going, I love you all. And I'm just expecting him to start pogoing up and down. It's like Ozzy.
Do you ever watch Archie Bunker's Place?
No. I probably have. Like, that I came out after.
It was 79, 82.
Yeah. Carol O'Connor.
Yeah, Anna Mira played Veronica on that show.
Oh. And
she often made wisecracks and gave Archie a hard time.
Who would you rather do?
And also insisted that Archie hire her openly gay nephew, Fred.
Now, isn't that odd that Veronica is on a show called Archie Bunker's Place? Who would you rather
that
do,
is.
Veronica or Carol O'Connor? Mira, mm-hmm. on the yeah, wall. Yeah. Who's the funniest motherfucker of all?
They declined, but they did have a sitcom, The Stiller and Mira Show of 86. In 86, he played the deputy mayor of New York City.
The mayor?
She played the wife, yeah.
She played the Mira's wife?
Yep.
Mira yeah. played the Mira's wife?
It didn't go well.
Hey,
and
say...
Then he went on to be Seinfeld, which is fucking old, man. I've been watching those, too, and it's like 1989.
Say hello to the mirror for me.
1989 and shit,
dude. Oh, I
know.
Dude, those first episodes are so weird. Have you ever watched the first two episodes of Seinfeld?
Yeah. I watch them randomly.
Elaine's not on there.
Yeah.
It's Jerry and George in a totally different coffee shop with a waitress who has, mm-hmm. Almost as large of a part as Elaine does. Way more stand-up interspersed three or four times through the episode. And they eventually went away from that to where I heard it was because they were getting so involved in their plot concepts that mm-hmm. they didn't have time for it. So
yeah.
they only ran it at the very beginning and during the final credits.
Yeah, missed as the cap and hammer or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, did you watch Walking Dead last week?
Yeah.
I mean, it would be the week before last, actually, because we're a week behind because of Thanksgiving. But
yeah, I don't remember what happened. It's all the governor.
There was two episodes so far of the governor. Hopefully on last Sunday, which was 4 days ago, we'll hopefully have gotten away from that and go back to see what's going on with...
Doesn't matter. It's the mid-season break and pisses me off.
Yeah. Oh, it's the break already? They're done for a little while?
No, after this last one that just played. It's
well,
a
God
break.
Damn it. But yeah, he was just killing everybody, dude. He's killing everybody.
Who cares about the governor, though, really?
I don't.
I mean, there's no... How... You know... Any fans that he grabbed on his side, emotionally, involvement-wise, in the show from when he came back and was all cool with the little girl or whatever... You know, nobody's on board with him now that he went and killed everybody. And I don't really...
Not anybody
know.
That knows that he did
yeah.
that stuff.
I don't know. I think the show's played out.
It's being lame.
And
I'm
that
almost...
it's a half-season... This half-season thing pisses me off, too, you know?
Yeah,
but
they
other
learned
than that,
to...
you know, I don't know if I'm... I watch because I've seen every episode.
Right, so you kind of got to.
Yeah.
But then I find myself not really paying attention.
Well.
Now, when I'm watching The Wire and I leave the room or I start doing something, I get a text, I fucking push pause.
Because
that's one of those shows where you want to see every second.
Yep.
They do have a couple scenes that are long and drawn out that I'm watching. I was like, well, I could have skipped that. Like towards the end of the final episode of season 4, they were kind of showing. Or maybe it was the first episode. No, I can't remember. It was when... That kid was with Bunny. He finally talked Method Man, his dad.
Naaman'd.
Yeah, Naaman'd is with him, and he was in a different neighborhood, and he was looking out, and there was nobody on any of the corners. It was a quiet neighborhood, nice houses, and it did like a 20-second pan down the street just with the sound of the kids playing, and I was like, wow, that's a weird directorial type of a thing that whoever directs it.
And he's kind of seeing what life is like.
Yeah. On the
outside
other side.
Outside of the hood.
Yeah, so I enjoy that show, and it's amazing to me that, you know, you tried to turn me on to it like probably almost a year ago, and I didn't watch it because I didn't have the way to watch it, and then you finally got it and let me borrow it. And now it's like any of those things. You don't know about something, so you never really hear about it, or you either don't pay attention because you don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you know something, what it is, then you start hearing about it all over.
Like, yeah.
Just like less than 3 weeks after I started watching it, they were making jokes on Saturday Night Live on a current episode. And this is a series that's been over for 6 years.
Yeah.
Got
I
over
saw
2008.
A reference in an article I saw the other day. It was just a random mention of one of the characters. And, you know, I would have never even got the reference. I would have just read right past it because it was like three words.
Now, here's
but because
something.
You've seen it, you know the name and...
here's something that I didn't notice. Dana was walking through, and she doesn't know the character. She's watched it a couple times, but not enough to know any of the characters' names. Mm-hmm. And Bubbles had just got rolled by that dickhead again for, like, mm-hmm. the second time. He got the shit beat out of him, got his shit stolen, and he's pushing his car.
Throwing his toilet paper down the road.
Yeah, and Dana walked in. I was like, man. And she's like, what? I was like, poor Bubbles, man. And she just laughed and then walked through. And then later, I was watching it, and they said, hey, Bubs. And she goes, is that guy's name really Bubbles? And I was like, yeah, well, what'd you think? And she's like, I thought since he was pushing the shopping cart, you just called him Bubbles because of the cart.
Oh.
Bubbles in the shopping carts from Trailer Park.
I never put that together.
And then
I've obviously put Bubbles together. They're both named Bubbles.
But I never, me too.
I didn't even think shopping cart.
It was fucking weird.
That's cool.
Oh, and another thing he just did was he just accidentally cyanide poisoned his boy. I don't know if it was just his friend that he'd taken in. I think it was just a guy that he knew, right? A young kid that he knew. It wasn't his son.
That was that charade he was trying to get into school.
He came and went, yeah, and he tried to help him, and he gave him a place to stay, and then he left for a while, and then he came back, and then he turned himself in and said, just lock me up, man. I killed that boy. And we're like, Bubbles, no. And now he's in, like, the psych ward.
Yeah.
And I'm halfway. I couldn't even help myself, dude. I knew I didn't have time to watch the whole thing, and I'll just watch half an episode.
Yeah,
it's fucking addicting, dude.
It is. And I'm going to be pissed. It's a good story and like, told really well.
Even though they're bad guys and they do despicable things, they really make you care about the characters. Like, mm-hmm. I was, like, bummed out when fucking Stringer got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And when fucking Bodhi got killed, spoiler alert, sorry anybody, it's been over for 6 years, get your fucking shit together. Bodhi got killed, and he was fucking freaking out. And the other thing is that a few scenes before that, what's his name, McNulty, bailed him out, took him up, gave him some food, they went up to the arboretum.
He was a good kid.
That. Yeah, he was. He's like, you're a soldier, Bodhi. He's like, I know. He's like, I've been doing all this all my life, and I ain't getting involved in their shit, and I ain't ratting on nobody. And he's like, well, we got to put a stop to Marlowe. And he's like, I'll do what I got to.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say anything. He hadn't said anything yet.
Yeah. He was the one with D'Angelo, and D'Angelo was always talking about how, why we got to be fucking putting bodies down, right? Wasn't he?
I think he was in at least from season two.
Yeah.
If not season one.
Oh, he was in season one, I'm pretty sure.
And then season two, he might have been gone because they were down at the docks. They might have flashed to him a little bit.
Yeah, he had a role, I'm sure, but not as much.
Yeah, I think it's I guess that's why. It's a good enough series that it ranks up there with the cult status series like The Sopranos and the ones that just do a 5 or 6 season run. And it just sucks because that scene where it made you realize he's a good kid and then he gets killed.
Yeah.
And he knew it, too. He was shooting all over. He's like, fucking come on. This is my corner. I ain't going nowhere. He should have just went with Pookie.
Yeah.
And didn't Pookie get shot sometime in between season 4 and 5? Because I think they talked about it.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm a couple episodes behind.
That's crazy. It's a good show, though. I like it.
Right on.
Way better than The Walking Dead right now. I mean, The Walking Dead had a good, strong start, I thought, because it was kind of a new thing or whatever. But
where are they going with it? I mean, come on. We all know where it's going now. It's all about the war between the thing, and then they're going to cut it off right there.
Who knows?
And then go come back 3 months later, and Derek's going to expect me to fucking just be all cool with fucking cliffhanger and us like that mid-season. Call it a mid-season.
Breaking Bad.
Call it a fucking season. It's a short season.
Breaking Bad did the same thing.
I know, and it pissed me off then, too.
What's grinding your
gears? I like that fucking show more. But it's like, you know, you got they just need to shorten seasons. They just need, so they call it a season, and then it'll be more affordable when it comes out, too. You could buy a season for like $20, brand new, right? Because it'll only be 8 episodes.
Yeah, and you won't feel like you're getting chumped.
Yeah.
It's $2.50 an episode, big deal.
Yep, and then you can have your every goddamn break every 3 months or 2 months or whatever.
Yeah, you can do it yourself.
Yep.
And that way we'll just wait
release
till
the whole goddamn season at once on Netflix.
Fucking Walking Dead. God damn it. Well, apparently, so that's in Georgia, right?
Uh-huh.
They're down there in Georgia. I guess there's zombies that have spread up to Apple Valley, Minnesota. Just last week, a Minnesota man, he stole a newspaper delivery truck from a gas station. And when police caught him, he told them he took it because he was running from zombies. Garrett Howard Holbert, 23, of Apple Valley, was charged with stealing a motor vehicle during a September incident And the police report officers found him near the truck several blocks away from the gas station where it was stolen. He said he was running from zombies and that he fell from the truck while he was driving it accidentally. He wasn't trying to get away.
Was he running from bath salt zombies? No, or like brain zombies?
I think he saw one of the actors from The Walking Dead, actually, is what happened. And he's like, fuck.
Maybe somebody was just walking around and they just fucking scared him. He got spooked.
Turned out he had bloodshot, watery eyes and a strong odor of alcoholic beverages on his breath, and he ended up testing .198. So it's about almost two or three times the legal limit. Mm-hmm. He was just drunk. He thought that he could tell the cops, you know, maybe they're big fans of The Walking Dead. And if I just tell them that, you know, zombies were chasing me, they might go, oh, man, we're glad you got away. Can we help you? Just go ahead. You're cool.
It's going to be good for insanity pleas now.
Yeah, I saw zombies. And I thought they were real. It just happened to be a guy who had a bad leg and hadn't washed his face for a long time. He was a little bit congested.
Mm-hmm. That's Darth Vader?
No, that's... That's my zombie noise that freaks my little godson out to where he'll start calling my name. Terry? 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 And what if he gets it three times and I'm still going with my eyes rolled back in my head? He'll go, Terry! And he'll start to cry. So I can make a three-year-old cry with my zombie face. Uh-huh.
Zombie face.
You know, I was talking about Butterface the other day because we're talking about ugly chicks and cute chicks. You've heard the term Butterface.
Yeah.
Now, when I first heard Butterface, I thought it just meant like she was fat and... she was like greasy, like butter. But it's supposed to be, she's, everything looks good on her.
Butterface.
Yeah, I just found that out about a month or two ago.
Oh, really?
I'm slow, yeah. I thought Butterface was just some fat bitch who liked to eat a lot of butter.
Yeah, well, that'll cause it.
And I'm not saying that all fat people are bitches. I just like to say that combination of words, fat bitch. Because sometimes fat girls are bitches.
Yeah.
And sometimes skinny bitches are bitches.
Yeah.
It just depends on, you know, whether
bitches
they...
Bitches be bitches.
That's right.
You ever watch... Did you watch that Bill Cosby special?
I haven't got to find it yet. Did they replay it?
I don't know. I watched it the other night.
How did you see it?
Comedy Central.
But what night was it on, darn it? You didn't Friday? Watch the original? Okay, a replay then. Okay. Was it funny? Jello pudding pop.
There were some fucking golden moments.
I heard,
man,
there was some brilliance going on and a little bit of filler, maybe.
There was some filler. You know, it was interesting to watch his audience participation going on.
Was he doing crowd work?
When
a little bit.
He was commanding the audience to fucking finish
his joke.
Fucking joke, to punchline it and to keep it kind of going. You know, to keep him involved. He was like so subtle, and they would know, and they would all say it at the same time.
Oh.
But, but he was barely making, you know, you'd barely make the movement. And then even at one point, too, because he was really going off, and, you know, and he kind of did the subtle call for it, and they did, and he fucking said, "Let me tell the joke. Let me say it." He all fucking scalded them.
So he pretty much set them up for that, right? That's awesome.
And there was a lot of that. There was a lot of fucking... there was one that I was like, damn, he took... And that was like a 20-minute joke to get to that punchline. You know? But it was cool, and it was Bill Cosby-style material. And he had a good little intro about the... about Comedy Central and how he was, you know, when he told people he was doing a Comedy Central bit.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, does that mean
we're
going to hear you, you know, cuss?
He's all, you can't say filth, florin filth. He scolded Eddie Murphy, remember? Back in the day. Richard Pryor said, you fucking tell him to have a Coke and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. I don't think he cussed.
No, I bet he didn't. You know what I realized after watching that special extra features about The Wire? I watched one of those. It was like a half hour. Omar never cusses. Omar never cusses once. Mm. And Sunday is the day of rest. He goes. He doesn't do business on Sundays.
Yep.
And he respects his grandma. He's all about.
Dude, they shot at his fucking grandma on a Sunday morning.
That's why it was so hardcore for him.
Should have been dead on a Sunday morning.
Now what blows Omar's me away? Mom. So Omar comes along back to the wire.
That's what that song's about.
Yeah, I know. And so he fucking takes their shit, right? He jacks them this final time. Big score where he's trying to sell it back to them. At 20 cents on the dollar, their own shit, back to Prop Joe. And he just walks into Prop Joe's store where those guys are with him, and they're like, I'm going to kill you twice, motherfucker. And then Prop Joe's all, hey, just back off. And he's like, 20 cents on the dollar. They're like, 10 cents, nigga. And he's like, don't you make me say 25 now.
I don't know. Omar's a fucking badass, man.
Where does he garner that fucking respect? The kids on the streets pretend like they're him, gacking people.
He'll fucking take down Prop Joe, dude. Ain't no thing.
Oh, I know. He'd take down anybody, and I guess that's what makes people not fuck with him, because they could have took him out. He walks in there like nothing, with nobody covering him or nothing. He just walks in. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I want to get my clock, too.
And you know that mostly not awesome. From the violence that he has done in the past. It's like he doesn't take down citizens or nothing.
Nope.
But they show, you know, clips of, like, you know, and this is where the storytelling is in, is, like, him walking in the morning to go and get cereal.
In his bathrobe.
Yeah. And it's like, and all the kids are just running away as far as they can.
Omar's coming.
You hear it from old people. You hear it from the kids. Just as he's walking through the alley, people just running out of the streets.
Yep, that's true. And you know what's weird is in that little thing I watched, I didn't know that the writer and producer was a former Baltimore police officer.
Yeah.
And the other guy worked for the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not.
Yeah, some of the people are based on real people.
They said that Omar's a mix of three different drug dealers that were, what do they call them? Snatching or grabbing, blast them. What do they call it when you shoot and snatch?
Snatch and grab.
Something where he killed. You know, he goes, I shoot people and take their drugs. More like almost a Robin Hood type of a deal, but not really. You know, he's still a bad person.
Yeah, he's still dropping bodies.
Yeah.
You know, which is the promise that he made to Bunk.
Yep.
Did he keep by it? Has he dropped any?
No, I don't believe so. I think he, he didn't have to kill anybody when he did that last. Because they're like, oh, fuck. Omar's coming.
Yep.
He's
Omar's coming.
That should be a song by like a rap group or something. Have samples.
That was funny though. One time he just went and stood by the building. At one time, and I think it was after he picked those up, and then somebody just dropped their drugs right at his feet.
Yeah, and then he came out and it's like just a bag of crack.
Yeah,
it's like I came across some heroin, man. I'm gonna sell it to you for 20 cents on the dollar. It's like shit. We ain't gonna be buying our own shit back. And then they told Prop Joe told Marlo that they wanted 30 cents on the dollar so he can get his 10. But Marlo's pretty wise. He knows the pigs are watching him. The popo, he's like, I watch him all the time watching me. He's like, you got that white dude up on the roof, bushy head up there, watching me with his spy glasses. I don't like Marlo. He's pretty cold. He's one of the bad characters that I've been waiting for him to get popped off, but he's one of the bad characters that I don't like him.
Because
earlier I said, you know, they make you love the characters even though they're, like, evil people.
But his crew is cold.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe how fast that one Michael kid stepped up and just became fucking point blank, shoot you in the head, don't give a fuck. I mean, he's taking care of all of his little brothers and Deshaun. Tried to get Deshaun in the game there for a while.
Yep.
An old Presbo trying to step in. Oh, and then that...
Everybody too fucking nice.
Yeah, and Carver trying to save that little... Randy Wagstaff.
Yeah.
You know what's so fucking weird? Randy Wagstaff is a pioneer in prosthetics from Salem, Oregon. A white guy.
Wow.
A white dude named Randy Wagstaff had a, there was articles in the paper before I got my first leg, like in the 70s.
Wow. You'll have to ask him if he's ever
been to Baltimore. Did you grow up with cornrows and sell candy in a cafeteria? Get sent to a boy's home and be branded a snitch? Yep. You stole my money, motherfucker.
Gambling to get money for the candy.
Yeah, he's pretty good with his dice and stuff. Speaking of gambling to get money, did you ever fall into the Bitcoin thing?
No.
Didn't buy any?
Uh-uh.
I remember you telling me about it, and I didn't even understand what the deal was.
It's still fluctuating. I think it's hitting another high.
It is high, and this idiot fucking dude just accidentally threw away a hard drive with $8.2 million worth of Bitcoins in it. So what, he can't get those back? No way?
I don't know.
That's what it's saying here. He threw out a laptop hard drive and later realized it held $8.2 million worth of the online Bitcoin currency. He stored 7,500 Bitcoins that he created in 2009 when they were considerably lower. You put something in the bin in your head. You say to yourself, have that, whatever. I don't even know what he's trying to say here, but they were worth about.
So you store them on your hard drive?
I guess. I don't know. They said the Bitcoins were worth about $818,000 when he threw the hard drive away during the summer, but the price has since soared, and the worth of a single Bitcoin has surpassed $1,000 on Wednesday.
Wow. Last time I checked, it was only like 200, I think, but it was in heavy fluctuation.
So it was a huge surge recently. The actual contents of the hard drive was the cryptographic private key needed to access and spend the Bitcoins. Oh, okay. The currency is lost without the key, he said.
I thought the government kind of came out and said it's not a bad thing or something.
Well, yeah, they were popularized originally by black market websites specializing in anonymous purchases, and they've since become accepted currency for online sites, including like OkCupid and Reddit.
Maybe we should put up a donation link for Bitcoins for us.
And then if the price keeps, well, it's so high right now, it'd be a bad time to buy, right?
Well, no, we could just put up if somebody wanted to donate a Bitcoin to us.
One coin, that'd be $1,000.
Fucking, you know, I mean, you know, maybe they got it just past, maybe they bought them when they were a dollar.
Maybe they bought 7,500 back in 2009.
Yeah.
Huh. Virgin announced recently it will accept Bitcoins to purchase flights with Virgin Galactic.
Mm-hmm. They're all
got $8.2 million. Oh, shit. My hard drive crashed. Damn it. You should have backed that shit up.
Whoa, you can't back that up because then you would have double.
That's a good way to counterfeit Bitcoins. Counterbit.
I don't know how it works.
That's in Wales.
That's why, you know, you want to know what you're investing in, so I guess it's tough.
Yeah, but that is tough. I felt bad because I might be losing all those karaoke songs and those videos, but at least it's not $8.2 million.
If karaoke songs became the most valuable commodity on Earth. Like, we were talking about how it used to be pepper, and then it was at one time, platinum was thrown into the sea. All of Mexico's platinum was thrown into the sea because it was so useless, and people were using it to forge gold coins, gold coins.
To mint them up, yep.
Yeah, because gold coins are worth more. So it was such a problem that Mexico took all the platinum they could find and dumped it into the ocean. And so now there's tons of platinum in the middle of the ocean that Mexico just went and tossed out of there.
So can you go platinum mining in the sea freely? I gotta have a permit to cut wood. I'm going platinum mining. I'm going double platinum mining.
There'd be ghosts out there, maybe.
Huh.
Ghost mine.
That's fucking weird, dude.
You ever see that show, Ghost Mine?
No, I saw Ghost Ship.
I think it's somewhere in Oregon. It was a mine, and it's haunted by ghosts, Chinese workers.
Sometimes when I have an itch, I just slap myself instead of scratching it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that noise was, in case anyone was wondering. Oh, smack God damn it. What the fuck did I just do?
You know, the Border Collie is an extremely intelligent dog.
Yeah?
It holds the record. A Border Collie holds the record for the most known commands.
Sit. Shake. Roll over. Play dead. That's the only ones my dog knew.
Keep going. What other commands could... How many commands could you think a dog could do?
Fetch. Heal. Come. That was about eight right there. And then you could have, like, if they're... It's not a beagle. What'd you say it was? A Border Collie?
Yeah.
Stand up. Speak.
How about 1,100?
I almost got to 11. What are the other 990?
I don't know. I was thinking, how long would that go through? You'd have to take a break when you're proving that record, right? Because the dog can't do 1,100 tricks in a row.
Well.
I mean, you're probably talking like, jump through a hoop twice on a nail.
Eat this cracker off of your nose without dropping it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, set this cracker on your nose for 5 seconds and then go, psh, and then eat it.
Yeah.
Lift your left ear up.
Yep.
Go whine.
Take a shit on the carpet and eat it.
Shit on the carpet and then piss on the shit. That's a direct command. They would have to, you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if dogs can shit on
Is command. It possible that Andy Warhol spent a period of his paintings towards the end, he would get, I think it was copper-based paint.
Yeah.
And then he would invite people over to piss on them, famous people to piss on them, and the reaction on the copper paint would create like a kind of a weird etching kind of design.
What a weirdo.
Dude, this guy fucking, he painted a banana and he became famous, right? And can of fucking Campbell's soup.
I don't doubt that piss story, you know, because everybody was always telling him, you're incredible.
Yeah, he just call up somebody and go, hey, come on over, piss on my fucking painting for me.
Get it? Urine?
Mm-hmm.
Pee-pee. Ka-ka. Fucking Andy Warhol.
There was a guy I read about some radio contests.
Radio contest.
There was a guy who
radio
fucking...
radio
he was
ka-ka.
A big fan of Mini Coopers, and a radio station was giving away a Mini Cooper.
Right? My wife is a big fan of Mini Coopers.
And he had, in studio, while the DJ watched, Mini tattooed on his dick to get the Mini Cooper.
Oh, weird, dude. That would hurt. Was it erect or flaccid?
I don't know.
Because that'd kind of like be like the balloon effect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like when you get a balloon,
and it's mini.
If you get a balloon
putting on there,
if you get a balloon that says like key bank on it with a little key,
mm-hmm.
and it's not inflated, it's like super little. And then you blow it up, and it's like key bank with a big key, and it's all awesome.
And then you're gonna have to pay half the money for the car anyway, right? In taxes,
probably. And then there's that thing like I was talking about, trying to get babies to get their tattoos young, mm-hmm. but you'd have to draw everything super small. Because it's going to be stretched out when they get older. But I have a friend who just got the VW emblem tattooed on his neck. He doesn't have a lot of room left on his body
because
he's all tatted. Like he's got full sleeves and then even on his hands and his fingers.
Yeah.
He's filled up. Back, arms, legs, all kinds of shit.
You got to take your time doing that, right? Otherwise, I mean, what do you do?
Yeah. Start erasing and... Get laser eraser. Mm. You laser off the de-tattoo.
Yeah.
And then get a new tattoo. Look at my new tattoo. So, yeah. So, we were like, that's a nice... Because he drives a Jetta. He's a VW guy. So, mm-hmm. he's like, yeah. We're like, nice VW tattoo. And he's like, yeah, it was actually a thing for some kid that had cancer or something. And, like, the place was donating for everybody that got a neck tattoo. No, it didn't have to be on your neck. Everybody who got the VW emblem tattooed that size, which is about the size of a coaster for a mm-hmm. cup or something, they would give $25 to this fund or something like that. But I had a deal with VW and
that doesn't
tattoo
seem
shop.
Like that much. $25
for each tattoo. No, they didn't pay $25 for the tattoo. I don't know how much it costs for the tattoo.
Yeah.
They probably had to pay for their own tattoo.
Somebody, for somebody getting the permanent VW.
Oh, that's probably what they did. They probably charged the person $25 for the tattoo. Mm-hmm. And then they took that $25 and gave it to the cancer thing.
So they just lined a bunch of people.
It was pretty intricate. It was 3D looking. Oh, with for sure. It wasn't just a stick drawing, but yeah. It was the V and the W, and it had some blue, and it was shaded pretty nice. It looked good, except it was on his neck.
It would have been quicker just to get a brand, though, right? To get a VW brand and then just like heat it up. $25 a brand.
Yeah, and he had complained about, oh, fuck these guys, another job interview, I didn't get the job. And they're like, it's your tattoos, dude, you should wear a long-sleeve shirt. And he's like, you mean and gloves and a turtleneck? And they're like, well, yeah, if that's what you have to do. Until you make them realize that you're a cool person and you're not some fucking thug.
Mm-hmm.
Like that lady thought that the guy with the boxing ring, back to the wire every time, every story. Remember he got shot in the leg with the hospital? And he was pushing the button a lot, and he asked why he only got four channels, and she's like, you gangbangers. She's like, you just act like it's okay to just get shot up in the line of your business, and then you come in and we make it okay for free. And then the beginning of season five, they're together as a couple. That was quick. But it'd been a year.
Yeah.
It'd been a year, so that's what happens in a year. Did you know that... hawk scare pigeon? Wait, is it pigeon? This is a story.
Scare pigeon.
No, it was a hawk. Oh. Human neighbors in New York have been complaining that the subway station has been playing recorded hawk calls meant to scare pigeons. Terry Donovan said, the recorded hawk calls have kept me awake the last two weekends, and you can hear it inside my home. The city councilman, Jimmy Van Bramer, said something has to be done about the pigeons at the 61st Street station, and the birds have become so plentiful that they frosted the area with droppings, and riders exiting the station sometimes ended up with soiled clothes. So they've put up do not feed the pigeon signs, but to no avail. They still come around, and animal advocates say that recorded hawk calls are a humane way to drive the birds away. They don't want to exterminate them, and we're sorry that the people have to suffer. Caw! What's a hawk call? Hawk call. Hawk call.
I don't know, but why don't they just spread them out a little bit more so that it's not just repelling them from the one area, but put a radius so they don't get to that center area, but kind of, you know, they shit a little bit farther apart.
See, you know, pigeons, they're smart fuckers.
Oh, yeah, they want to shit on your car.
Well, they will take a note to somebody a long ways away.
Yep.
Homing.
Yeah.
They're homing it in.
If they want to shit on your car, they'll shit on your car, so man. Don't think that birds don't have a sense of humor.
Here's the problem. The pigeons are expected to figure out at some point that there are no hawks around and learn to ignore the hawk calls.
That's when you put a hawk in there.
And then they'll say, fuck, there's a hawk. They say the best way to reduce the pigeon numbers is a total halt to feeding them, but they can't get the people to stop doing it.
Where is this again, Aaron Ocean?
No, this is New York City, in the subway. Oh, 61st Street subway station.
Yeah, Mike Tyson, he trains pigeons on a rooftop.
They had a lot of pigeons
going. Pigeon.
Everything goes to the wire. They had the whole pigeon thing going on the wire there for a while, remember?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were catching pigeons.
They were catching them.
Yep. And
then Marlo said that to one of the cops one time, something about a pigeon, and he's like, you hear that? Hear that shit? He said, I think old Herc's getting ripped his stripes or some shit. He's in trouble.
Yeah.
Fucking Herc. He's kind of an idiot, though, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Always has been.
Yeah, he is. He's always making shifty choices, despite everyone telling him that he should do otherwise.
Exactly.
Like the camera thing.
Yeah, and let's just take
that was a whole running story for the whole season.
Yeah.
It's like he should have just fessed up and fucking...
And there was another camera thing back when he talked Carver into buying one on his credit card.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
$1,500, and they put in a tennis ball and fucking rolled it out in the street. And he's like, fuck, that's $1,500. I'm going to... She's like, well, oh, man, sorry.
I forgot about that roller right, yeah.
So that's kind of like a throwback to camera troubles with Herc.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny shit. Hans, after you hear us talking about this so much, you should probably go watch the Wire. I don't know if you're a racist or anything, but it'll help your white guilt if you are.
And you can root for Carcetti.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that guy either.
Why is that?
I don't know why. He reminds me of Hans.
What? Hans.
He's got one of those weird last names like Jockumson.
Arquette.
Now I think you'll recognize
Clay Davis. You
know I was going to say that and I forgot. I wish that more people knew The Wire because that was going to be one of my stand-up impressions. This is Clay Davis from The Wire. And I turn around, act like I straighten myself up. She.
You just go up there and say it.
She.
People laugh.
She.
And then if somebody laughs, go, why are you watching The Wire? You're white.
Clay Davis. She. So Hans has always talked about liking this guy. I don't know if you'll recognize, you probably will recognize his name when I say it.
Blue Saraceno.
No. Jim Steinman.
Oh, he invented the piano.
No, that was his brother Steinway Jimnan.
Oh.
No, Jim Steinman, songwriter, musician, mostly known for his collaboration with a food-oriented rock band.
Peaches and Herb?
No, that's fucking close. Same era.
Oh, really? Kool-Aid Gang?
No, it's more of a main dish. He used to go by the name of Couscous.
Grits. I don't know.
Meatloaf.
Oh, Meatloaf.
Duh. You didn't know he used to go by Couscous? His manager told him, dude, Couscous.
I wasn't even in that pattern.
Couscous is not a good name. He's like, you need to think of something else. If it has to be food related, then whatever. And he's like, Meatloaf. All right, you got it. No, Jim Steinman wrote like, I would do anything for Meatloaf.
Okay, songwriter. Okay.
And he wrote Paradise by the...
He's listened to this guy before.
Oh, yeah. He wrote Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Did he have anything to do with the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Well, Meatloaf did, didn't he?
Yeah, Meatloaf did.
Probably. And the movie Roadie, I would imagine, as well. Hmm. But,
That was a weird movie.
What, Roadie or Rocky Horror?
Roadie.
You've never seen Roadie?
I don't think so.
Dude, that's Meatloaf starring in Roadie.
Wow.
But
is it as good as Strangeland?
I bet. No. I was going to say it's bad. I kind of like that movie, but D. Snyder's a fucking weirdo. But anyway, Jim Steinman, Bad for Good. That's what Hans is listening to today. I don't even know what it sounds like. Does it sound like Meatloaf, Hans?
I would do bad for good.
Yeah, we're going to make fun of you until the dashboard light burns out.
I don't know. Like he's a songwriter. I don't know. He was doing albums.
I still get a good laugh out of I Hate Bruce Springsteen. Because I wasn't born to run. Last night, I didn't think I had time, so I didn't even waste no time setting up. I just said a little bit about myself. I'm Terry Gile, and I do have an artificial leg. And I flipped my leg upside down, and everybody's like, whoa. And I was like, yeah, I could have told a story for 10 minutes, but I ain't got time. Ain't nobody got time for that.
But if you went up there, and then you like, you had your drink and everything, You arranged, your setup and everything there and kind of took your time with it and took your time and then you flipped up your leg and set your drink on it.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. That would be pretty funny.
It's kind of did the silent bit for, do it after like 15 minutes of setting everything up like all perfect and then pull your leg off and use the stump stool.
Or how about if I just, there's no stool. Because a lot of times they don't put a chair up there at some bars and stuff, because comedy clubs always have a stool for your water or even a notepad or whatever. I get up there and go, well, I was going to set my drink down, but let me just flip my leg up, set it on there, hold my leg with the drink. Funny thing happened to me on the way down the show, and they're like, it's a built-in table is what it is. Oh, I think I got some dog shit on my shoe.
What if you had a microphone put into your shoe?
Ladies and gentlemen, I could do that.
And then you just took out your leg and it was a wireless mic.
Yeah. It'd be loud when I was walking. It'd be all... be like a heartbeat up in you.
Yep.
I can't remember. I have a bad memory, but I was listening to something recently. You know what sucks? We got that new car and the CD player is like jammed up.
Ah. You got jam in there? Somebody shoved a sandwich?
It's like it's a six CD player with only one slot, so you like stick them in one at a time and then they load up into it or something. And when you push load or eject, it just goes click, 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 and then it says error. So we can only listen to the radio. I was listening to the radio, and the funny thing was I was just saying, because I was listening to that new Queens, and I mentioned, well, that's new, and it's out, and there's singles. Why aren't I hearing Queens new songs on K-Fly? And then I realized I never listened to the radio. And Dana's like, oh, Carl plays Queens of the Stone Age sometimes. And I'm like, what, no one knows? She's like, well, yeah, but sometimes. And she mentioned a couple songs from Era Vulgaris. So today, I get in the car, no CD player. I couldn't get my phone to load the podcast I wanted to listen to, so I turned on K-Fly. Sure enough, and I was like, well, I listened to it anyway, because it's got what they call high-quality stereo, which just means it's extra bassy for being one of those stock pieces of shit in a Ford ADD, is what I call it, a Ford ADD.
Is it possible...
back to that.
That there's a comic out there who would go out and open with taking a stool on the stool.
I would, but I, like we talked about before, I prefer the home stool advantage.
Yep.
You could go, I was going to take a shit on this stool right here, but I prefer the home stool advantage. Hi-yo. Props going out to Pat Wambacher on that one. Or Lance Thill. We got to find out who wrote that shit. Who wrote that joke?
I don't know. I'm going to say Pat. Sounds...
Do you remember our old sponsor, Complete Ag Resolutions?
Check this out. I was disappointed, and I went...
Complete Ag Resolutions, offering you the best solutions in your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/Complete Ag Resolutions.
And I went... to do my Black Four.
Fucking Chris Castles.
His Black Four.
Yeah, he's got a Black Four head.
Is that like the Four Tops?
Black Foreskin. That's Dave Foreskin's brother.
Did you know, I didn't know if you know, or if you watched TV the day after Turkey Day.
I did.
That was it's a fucking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all that shazazzle. And
Rudolph was on before Thanksgiving, dude.
What?
Yeah, like my buddy that used to play guitar for Bodybag, Travis, he said, I was watching Rudolph and reminiscing about being a little kid and watching it, and then I fucking realized it's not even Thanksgiving yet. What the fuck, CBS or whatever it was, you know? It's pretty stupid, dude. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I don't understand why they do that.
It's because it's all tied in because of Black Friday is so big now.
Are you sure?
You know, it wasn't that long ago, it doesn't seem like, but it was probably 10 years ago before Black Friday was a thing, right?
Yeah, well, there was a movie back in the 80s called Black Friday, and it was just about this bad thing that happened that day, like at a baseball game or some shit.
What about the movie The Toy?
With Jack, with Robin Williams?
Nope, that's Toys. You're right with Jack.
Jack Nicholson?
Nope.
Jack De Niro?
Nope.
Jack De Niro. I don't know who's Jack.
You're close. So Jackie Gleason.
This is John Lennon.
And John Lennon.
You're listening to the dudes chilling.
And Richard Pryor.
Toy?
The Toy.
Okay, I don't know. I guess I don't remember it.
It was from the 80s, I think, for 1980.
Remember the 80s?
And he was hired to be a spoiled kid's playmate.
Oh. I think I kind of, I'm having a vague flashback.
Jackie Gleason was the dad. He was like the strict dad, but he didn't have time to play with his kids, so he hired a...
Norton!
So he hired Richard Pryor to be the kid's toy.
I've been watching you, Norton.
And then, oh, because that's what the kid wanted for Christmas, was that guy, because he thought he was funny, I think, was because Richard Pryor was in the toy store working security, and...
I want that toy.
Yep, and he was having fun with all the toys, and the kid thought that was funny, and he said, I want that for Christmas, Dad, and he's like, all right, and made him a deal or something that he couldn't refuse or something like that, and then it was all hubba bubba.
Hubba bubba? They were chewing bubble gum in there?
They were, and then all of a sudden Jackie Gleason realized he should spend some time with his kid.
Oh.
It's one of those
so the
trick
kid-
you into, it's a heartwarming story.
So the kid was white, right?
Yeah, he's a spoiled brat.
So he thought that Richard Pryor was a toy because he was black.
Yeah, people that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, that's kind of racist. Mm. I don't understand.
I think let's do it. They should redo that one with Madea and have like...
Tyler Perry?
Uh-huh. And then have that guy from Will and Grace. He could be the Richard Pryor part, right?
He's on that show with Elaine from Seinfeld, The Adventures of New Christine.
Has he?
Yeah, I was just watching that.
That show ran for quite a while, didn't it?
So it plays on Nickelodeon, and so like after...
That show plays on Nickelodeon?
Nick at Night.
Oh, Nick at Night?
Yeah, so like... Yeah.
Nick at Night's for Donna Reed and Mr. Ed in Black and White.
No. They even have a stand-up comedy show of... on Nickelodeon of ladies that do comedy.
Ladies Mom's of comedy?
Night, Mom's Night Out or something.
What?
Like that. Yeah.
Momedy?
Momedy, yeah. And so anyway, yeah, like the show, the kids' shows will get over and he'll go to bed and I hadn't changed the channel and then I'll come back in the living room and it'll be the new adventures of old Christine or whatever, which is... Elaine Bennis, whatever, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the Will and Grace dude was on there, and he was her therapist. And he doesn't play a gay
person.
It's
a weird premise of a show, isn't it?
What's the? I don't even know the premise. I just saw excuse me, some of the dialogue. It's kind of funny. Fuck.
It's about her. Well, her name is Christine, and then the guy that she used to date goes on to...
Another Christine?
Another Christine...
That happened.
And so she's the old Christine. And it's like her trying to move on with her life. But they're in the story, too. You know, and so, you know, comedy ensues. It'd
be like the new adventures of old Jen.
Mm-hmm. It's a good show for her.
Starring Pat
Wambacher.
You know,
it seems like it was well written. I never really watched much of it more than seeing a few.
Some of the script sounded funny.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't change the channel because I was doing something else and it was on. And then I caught myself looking at it because I kind of like her. I've always liked her, even from Saturday Night Live before Seinfeld. She's cute, and she's funny, and she's energetic, and I would sleep with her.
She kept her 80s hair?
Yeah, I'd sleep with her. I would.
This is Ringo Starr, and you're listening to DudesChillin.com.
Don't forget to listen to DudesChillin.com, and it can be found right there at DudesChillin.com. So, and don't forget about pizza now. We're going to go get some soon here in just a few minutes after we wrap this one up like a burrito. We're going to try to talk Chris into having a Christmas tree pizza, which will be a small, medium, large pizza.
A Christmas tree? That would be cool.
Wait, no. Snowman pizza.
That would be
pizza.
Nice, though.
Yeah, Christmas tree pizza, too.
Yeah.
I meant to say, thanks to Dustin for making fun of me, I meant to say a snowman pizza, and the reason he corrected me is because it was his fucking idea. But yeah.
It's probably been done before.
And it's
going to
be all white cheese.
Yeah, it will be. It'll just be
It'll have three olives and one carrot.
I think giant meatballs. There's got to be a giant meatball on there. Yeah, that's what I said was a carrot, and he said he didn't think a carrot would be good on pizza.
No. You could have like a pepperoni slice that's sliced out to like a nose or something.
Or a yam.
And just a couple pieces of coal for the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Olive eyes.
And some buttons.
Olive eyes.
We've got olive eyes.
Yeah, that show was on for 5 years.
What, Olive Eyes?
Yep.
Oh, the new adventures of old Christine, or is it the old adventures of new Christine?
Received 9 Emmy Award nominations.
It's pretty funny.
This is Joel Tess, and you listen.
What's George Harrison doing in Monty Python and the Life of Brian?
I'm the Life of Brian. I come from the Strange Walk.
Wanda Sykes was on that show.
Yeah. I was watching her, and I was thinking that their connection might have been from their time spent together doing a little bit of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
During the Seinfeld season of Curb, which was kind of cool. I need to go back and watch some Curb. I miss it. Haven't seen it in a while. At least 6 to 8 months.
Tom Papa was on there, too.
Ah, Tom Papa.
And Andy Richter.
Those guys kind of look alike.
And Scott Bakula. And Dave Foley.
Quantum Leap. Scott Bakula. He should have played Black Dracula.
And Jane Lynch.
Ooh, she's a lesbian. With a vagina.
And Stephen Tobolowsky.
Oh, who's on there? He's an awesome Polish actor.
You know who that guy is?
No, he's a Polak, though. I know that because of his name. If you have a ski, if you have ski at the end of your name, you're Polish.
Isn't he that guy that plays all those characters all the time?
Probably.
He was Jimmy James.
I'm sure he plays all characters all the time.
Wasn't he Stapler guy?
Oh, was he a ski?
No, maybe he wasn't.
No, I don't think so.
I'm thinking of someone else.
Could I get my Stapler back? Because that's I needed to talk to accounting about my paycheck because I haven't received my paycheck, and it's been 2 weeks since I received the paycheck, and I need to get my paycheck.
You know who played Christine's gynecologist on the show?
No.
Jason Alexander.
Wow, nice. I wonder if he really got to look at her vagina.
I don't know.
That'd be funny though, like, he's trying to talk her into it. We really need to get into this role, you know, like really submerse ourselves in this role. And, you know, if we were doing something about detective work, we'd go down on the streets and maybe witness some crack deals. Maybe go talk to Rob Ford about smoking crack.
Amy Sedaris was on there.
She's funny.
She was, Christine used to bully her.
Ooh. With her vulva?
Yep, and Molly Shannon was a neighbor on there who throws a disastrous holiday block party.
Wow, we got lots of information about the new adventures of old Christine.
And that old show?
It is old. It's as good as The Wire, I think. Just kidding. Hey, I've had fun today on Hump Day talking to you guys. Thanks for listening. We're going to go get some pizza. Should we just get the regular meat ones, or should we go out on a limb and get the wood pizza? I'm just kidding. I said limb. I meant go out on a limb and get something different.
Don't matter to Jesus.
What do you guys think? You got 30 seconds to reply. Send me an email right now. Okay, I'm checking my... You've got mail. Okay, it says...
Tom
we don't
Hanks
like...
and Mel Ryan.
I don't like that movie.
Mel Ryan. Is that a Mel Gibson and Meg Ryan movie?
Mel Brooks.
Yep. When Mel met Meg.
Yes. When Harry fucked Sally.
Yep.
All right, thanks for listening. We're going to go get some pizza.
And rock on it.
Now. Metal Now. I'm going to open a store called Metal Now. We should have a store of everything that's just whatever it is now.
Yeah, it should.
Podcastnow.com. Cigarette. Fuck Rogers, man. I'm going to Denny's.
Rogers this.
Hello, all you motherfuckers. Hey, wait, that's the first time I said that. But that felt good, so I'm going to say it from now on. Actually, I'm having deja vu, like I already said that one time before, but this is the plug section of the show. Hope you made it to the end here, because I'm going to tell you a bunch of cool stuff you can go do, like on your spare time, if you have any of that. Not tonight, I don't know when you're even listening. It's Friday, December 6th at Denny's. Not at Rogers, it's at Denny's. It's at the lounge there on Spicer Drive, right off the freeway. You can see the big, tall, yellow sign with the red letters and stuff. Denny's Lounge, Grand Clam Stomedy Slam, which in American language means the Grand Slam Comedy Night, featuring some Eugene comics that are pretty funny. Seth Milstein, Mac Chase, Mike McGowan, Max Brockman will be making a guest appearance, I believe. We're going to have an open mic after the show if you ever wanted to try out your hand at comedy or your mouth or whatever you use to do it. So that's Friday, December 6th. It's a free show. You got to be 21 to get into it because it's a lounge, though. And we'll be taking donations. If you think that we're funny, you can give us money so they can have gas to get home with or whatever. Let's see, December 7th, Saturday, Wehrmacht, Toe Tag, World of Lies, Spawn, and Roadkill Carnivore. That is Toe Tag featuring members of The Accused, and they will be performing old Accused songs. So that's going to be an awesome show. It's at Slab Town in Portland. December 9th, also in Portland at the Hawthorne Theater. It's High on Fire with Clavler or something like that. I don't know how to pronounce it, but Jim Louderdale was. He was on our show once, and it's hard to pronounce a word that starts with the letters KV. I don't know, but High on Fire, I can say that. That's going to be awesome. January 17th, it's DRI at the Hawthorne Theater, also with World of Lies, who've been snagging all the cool opening slots for all the cool metal shows that are coming to Portland, so good for those guys. January 31st, it's Zappa Plays Zappa at the Roseland. That's Dweezil and a bunch of Frank's former band members. That's what you're hearing in the background here is Frank Zappa. You know that because I've been using this for a year or more. Love this song, Black Napkins. Hopefully they will play it. Also coming February 7th, all over your face, is Victims of Internal Decay at the Tonic Lounge. Our first show in Portland in 18 years. We'll be playing with Spawn, World of Lies, Truculence, which I just recently found out that Dan from Truculence was in a band that played with Victims in 95 at the Rosen Theater.
Play Bart.
It's weird how it goes full circle like that. We will be playing Bart. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Also, just announced, Death Angel, February 27th.
Death Angel.
At the Hawthorne Theater. That's where all the good shows are coming these days. There was some others I can't remember. Loudness is coming. Real Big Fish. I know you care about that. I don't. I'm just scrolling through my list because it got away from me for a second. Dark Tranquility is coming. Skinny Puppy. We'll have information on all these shows in the coming weeks because they're quite a ways down the road. Godflesh, Nile. And also, don't forget your weekly things. Like every Tuesday at the Capital City Theater in Salem, there's an open mic up there hosted by Jared Richard and sometimes Jesse Priest. Also, every Wednesday at Tiny Tavern, it's Mac Chase with the open mic comedy night there. And at the Green Room on 7th and Willamette in Eugene every Thursday, hosted by Nick Hough, or something. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's H-O-U-G-H. How?
Now you're talking my language.
Hough. Nick Hockaluki and Max Brockman. So, yeah, there's some stuff to do. Go do it and then come home and listen to us by going to tagcastpodcast.com.